Thank you, Braden. Tonight we're back in Genesis chapter 37. Last time I spoke, we had a look at Joseph, and we're going to continue with Joseph tonight and see what we can glean from the life of Joseph tonight. And I just want to begin by reading from Genesis chapter 37. And I just want to bring it verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colours. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray thee, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And we'll leave it there for now. Let's just pray. Dear Father, we open your word tonight. We pray that our hearts would be also open, and that we would come with hearts ready to hear and to understand, and that we'd be blessed and challenged tonight by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had that situation where you heard something important and you immediately go to tell someone else about it, only to have them laugh at you and refuse to believe you? This is what happened to Joseph, as we just read in Genesis 37. God deemed it right to give Joseph an unusual series of dreams that perhaps Joseph himself didn't fully understand. But Joseph seemed to immediately believe these dreams. And because of these dreams that he had, Joseph's brethren, his brothers, they hated him. And their hate just grew and grew because of these dreams and what Joseph said. And even his father rebuked him for his dreams. No one took his word for what he had dreamed. And no one believed Joseph for years and years. His dreams made his life very difficult. Betrayed, left for dead by his brothers, sold into slavery in a foreign land, alone and afraid, all because of his dreams. And all Joseph had was those dreams and his faith in God. But Joseph never let go. And little by little, as you go through the life of Joseph, you see his dreams coming true. You know, there are different kinds of dreams. When you think about dreams, there are dreams of the daytime, there are dreams of the night. Both can turn into nightmares. A person often has a dream, a life dream, a plan, and every one of us at times has a life dream where we have a goal in mind. We have something that we want to achieve. And that can be anybody in the world. It doesn't matter whether you're a king or a commoner. Many people have a life dream for their life. But there's a big difference between a God-given dream and a man-made dream. Often, most people have dreams. Many plan their whole lives to retire and then fail even to live long enough to get to retirement. Perhaps your life dream as a young person would be to get a well-paying job, earn lots of money, buy a nice house, get married, live happily ever after. And that's a very common life dream for people in the world today, and even Christians. There's only one problem. There's not one mention of God in their life dream. No inclusion, no allowance for what God wants in their life. And often we can forget that only God can give us a worthwhile vision for our life. You know, a person without God-given direction is like a ship made for the mighty ocean but stuck in a pond. No port to reach, no horizons, no cargo to carry. And we need to be careful that when we have a life dream that we include God in it and what God wants for our lives. And so often you hear of those who reject God's dream for them and they want to go their own dream. And like Joseph found here in this passage, a dream from God, a life dream from God, many people don't accept it. Joseph found his dreams rejected. The response to his dreams was scorn, doubt, ridicule, and hatred. We need to be careful that we include God in our plans for our life. We see here in verse 3 of Genesis 37 that Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than his other sons because he'd been born to him in his old age. And we see that coat of many colours that his father made for him. And his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them. And they hated Joseph and they couldn't speak a kind word to him. And as he told him his dreams, they hated him all the more. He told them the dream of the sheaves and how his brother's sheaves bowed down to his sheaf. And they said to him, "Do you intend to rule over us?" And they hated him because of his dream and what he said. They didn't like the concept. And they hated him because of his dream. And their hatred just compounded. And as he shared within the second dream, even his father rebuked him. "Will I and your mother actually ever bow down to you, Joseph?" His brothers were jealous of him. His father kept the matter in mind. Now, Joseph didn't fully understand what these dreams meant and what God meant by them. But he trusted God for the future. Initially, when we have goals and dreams for our lives, sometimes we'd never dream of what we have to go through sometimes to achieve those aspirations. Joseph didn't know what he would have to go through until these dreams came true. He didn't know how hard it was going to be between where he was now and when he was the Prime Minister of Egypt. Joseph started out literally in the pit, and he ends up the assistant second in command to Pharaoh of Egypt, possibly at the time the second most powerful man in the whole world at that time. So, as we consider this account of Joseph and his brothers, his dreams and his brothers' reaction, we see something here in his brothers. We see a lot of bitterness, a lot of hatred. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamour, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." You know, that emotional matchstick of jealousy that these brothers of Joseph had, it started off small, and it became a raging bushfire. Their bitterness. And Ephesians chapter 4:31 says, let all bitterness be put away from you. Bitterness. And then there's that list of results of bitterness: wrath, anger, clamour, evil speaking, malice. It just compounds and gets worse and worse. You know, that word for bitterness literally refers to something so acid and poisonous that it blisters and it kills those who have it. Bitterness is an anger, a seething anger that hardens into a rebellious, vengeful conclusion. An unforgiving spirit lets anger take hold. Anger over circumstances. Anger at your spouse, at your children, your pastor, your employer, your friend. Fill in the blanks. Anger from bitterness. You feel entitled to hate someone. Feel entitled to ruin them. Feel energized to make sure they have a downfall. And that's what happened here with Joseph and his brothers. Their bitterness fueled by jealousy. First thing we notice about his brothers, they were jealous of his relationship. We see there in verse 3 that Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons. Joseph was Jacob's favourite. It probably should not have been that way, but that's what it was. And his brothers saw that, and they hated Joseph and could not speak peaceably to him there in verse 4. You know, Joseph was Rachel's firstborn, Jacob's most beloved wife, the girl he wanted to marry originally before Laban mucked it up for him. And Rachel had only died about a year before this. And so it's natural that Jacob or Israel would have transferred his affection to his son that had come to him via Rachel. And rightly or wrongly, Jacob cherished Joseph in ways he hadn't for his other sons. And because of that, a bitterness welled up in the hearts of his brothers. You know, sometimes we see someone in our lives who has a quality of relationship that we don't. And sometimes it can eat at us. And we can get that in our heart and we can dwell upon it like these brothers of Joseph did. And every time you think about that person, the bile rises. We need to be careful. Bitterness can destroy. And we can see that in the lives of Joseph's brothers. His brothers were also jealous of his position, Joseph's position. That last part of verse 3 there, where Israel made him a coat of many colours. And every child who's been in church long enough and been to Sunday school knows about the coat of many colours. A very special coat. Some say it was a long sleeve coat and that it signified the birthright. And it's very clear from the passage that it was a very special coat. And it signified very special favour. And it was like a red rag in front of a bull for those brothers of Joseph. The Bible makes it clear that Jacob did appoint the birthright to Joseph. He skipped Reuben because of Reuben's wickedness. And he brought it all the way down to Joseph. He skipped all his sons down to Joseph. And that symbol of the birthright could have been highlighted by this special coat of many colours. A symbol of position. And when Joseph's brothers saw that coat, it reminded them of how their father had chosen to make Joseph preeminent over them. And sometimes it can happen to us. Someone gets that promotion that we had our eye on at work. and you're pretty ticked off that someone else got it before you. Someone else gets to do something that you wanted to do. Someone else gets promoted in front of you. And often, bitterness can come because of that. We need to guard against it. We don't want to end up to be like Joseph's brothers. You know, I think the brothers were also jealous because God showed Joseph favour. And we can see that in Joseph's dreams. He was given these dreams. He shared his dreams to his brothers. He shared these amazing dreams. And his brothers hated him yet the more, it says in verse 5. And Joseph was, when you think about it, pretty brave to even tell his brothers about these dreams. Because even before he dreamt those dreams, we see there in verse 4, they hated him. And Joseph, as the little brother, comes up to his big brothers and tells them what they thought was a crazy dream. And they got jealous of him. And I think they got jealous of him because I think they really believed that God was speaking to Joseph. I think deep down, they knew that these dreams weren't just an imaginary thing. And I think that's why their bitterness was so great. They saw Joseph getting a dream from God. How come they didn't get that dream? Why is God telling him that stuff? What about us? And how come Joseph is going to be higher than us? You know, sometimes we can feel like that another person has a hotline to God that we're missing. They're the ones people go to for advice and counsel. And inside you, sometimes that bitterness can well up. And there's a quiet desire to see them knocked off their pedestal. That's bitterness. That's bitterness, just like Joseph's brothers. And for Joseph's brothers, this bitter spirit, this self-pity, this jealousy, this anger, finally pushed them over a very dangerous line. They were mad at their dad for his favoritism and giving the coat. They were mad at God for the good things that were coming to their brother and not them. And they only could think of one way to solve their problem, and that was to get rid of Joseph, to eliminate the darling object of affection as they saw it. And verses 12 to 24 tell us how it all came down. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send you unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me the word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, what seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid them out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. We can see the result of letting bitterness run unchecked in the hearts of these brothers. I want to highlight verse 13 for a minute. And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, Here am I. Here am I, said Joseph. I want to highlight Joseph's attitude here. Joseph was the beloved son of Jacob. He had that coat of many colours. He was to get the birthright, as if he was the firstborn son. He was getting these dreams from God. Joseph was special. And yet notice his response to his father's request. Here am I. We can learn two things about Joseph from these three simple words. Number one, Joseph was willing to serve. His father said to him, Your brethren down at Shechem with the sheep. I want you to go down and see them and bring me back word how they're going. And Joseph's response was, Here am I. There's no pride in Joseph's mind here. He didn't think he was too important to go down and see what his brothers were doing down there at Shechem. And I wish we all could have the heart of Joseph, willing to serve, willing to serve, willing to do what our parents ask of us, and above all, willing to do what God asks of us. You know, God needs to find this attitude in our heart, that humble servant attitude, before he can use us for bigger things. I don't think God could have chosen Joseph to be the prime minister of Egypt and save his family from the famine if Joseph was not willing to serve in these little annoying tasks first. And that's what God looks for in us, a here am I attitude. And it reminds me of the prophet Isaiah in that well-known chapter 6 when the Lord said, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah answered in Isaiah 6:8, Here am I, send me. Almost identical to what Joseph said here. Here am I. Do we have that attitude like Joseph and Isaiah? Here am I. I'm here. I'm available. Use me. Send me. Or do we tend to have the attitude of, don't look at me, send them? You know, Joseph's attitude was one of humble, willing obedience. Even when his brother's company was an unpleasant experience. Those brothers, Joseph knew they hated him. They could not speak peaceably unto him in verse 4. And yet, Joseph still put up his hand and said, Here am I can go. And I do believe that we need to be like Joseph in the little things, the tasks we don't like, doing things for people we don't really like to be with. God wants us to be faithful in the little things and to be willing to serve. As it says in Luke 16:10, He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. You know, Joseph was willing to be faithful. So should we. And the second thing we can notice about Joseph that is obvious from these words, Here am I, Joseph had no bitterness towards his brothers. There was no bitterness in his heart towards his brothers. Even though they hated him, couldn't speak a word to him peaceably, and his brothers probably never said anything nice to him, his brothers never showed him any love, and yet Joseph says, Here am I can go. And he went. We can see that in We read it in verses 14 to 17. He went. And it wasn't a simple task. He had to track down his brothers. He had to meet that man in the field and find out. He could have just given up. Oh, who bothers about those grumpy so-and-so brothers of mine? I'll just go back home and say they weren't at Shechem. They're gone somewhere else, so I don't know where they are. No, Joseph wandered around seeking those brothers who hated him. He had no bitterness within. He didn't hold any malice. He had no anger in his heart. I don't know how he did it, but he did. You know, the total opposite to his brothers, and we read there in verses 18 and 19, they saw him coming in the distance, and they began to conspire to kill him. The dreamer cometh, they said. let's slay him. Let's get rid of our problem. And we'll just say that some evil beast devoured him. And Reuben, to his credit, intervened, hoping to convince the brothers to just throw him into a well, and Reuben hoped to come back and get him back to his dad. And we're going to give Reuben credit for that. But you can imagine this scene as Joseph approaches his brothers there at Dothan, wearing that coat of many colours they could see him coming for a mile. And that was like a red rag in front of a bull for those brothers. That colourful coat that was so offensive to them. And perhaps Joseph was waving to them, "I'm here, I'm coming." And all at once they fall upon him and strip that coat off his back and throw him headlong into a deep, dark hole. All because of the bitterness in their hearts. The dark deed was done. And verse 25 tells us they sat down to eat bread. They sat down to eat a meal, as if nothing had ever happened. And nothing's recorded here of any complaint by Joseph, but if we go over to chapter 42 of Genesis, we get a little insight into what was going on while they sat there to have that meal. We're jumping forward to when the brothers were before Joseph. They didn't know it was Joseph, and they were discussing among themselves. In verse 21, they said one to another, "We are verily guilty concerning our brother, that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." They were sat down for a meal, and Joseph, they saw the anguish of his soul, and he besought them, but they would not hear. They blocked their ears to the cries of Joseph from that pit. They sat down and ate their meal of malice and drank their drink of deception. And then we know what happened next. They saw that caravan of merchants and they sold Joseph, sold him into slavery. They got rid of their problem, they thought. And they made a profit out of it as well. And then they made those finishing touches of putting blood on his garments and taking it to his father and telling him the story. Is this Joseph's coat? Plunging their father into inconsolable sorrow as he believed Joseph to be dead at the claws of wild beasts. Really, this is a horror story. A true horror story. It starts off bad. It ends up worse. You know, what can we learn from this horror story of hatred and bitterness? You know, that bitterness that the brothers had and that we can sometimes harbour in our hearts, bitterness is really anger at God. You know, Joseph's brothers felt they were hard done by as they looked at their little brother Joseph. Why did their little brother get these stupid dreams? Why did God give him these dreams? Now, ultimately, the brother's bitterness was anger at God. God, why are you letting our little brother be better than us? You know, God is in control of every circumstance that comes into our lives. And if we get upset with a situation or a person that is coming to our life, and if I get angry with them, I'm really angry at God, because God is in control of every circumstance. Often we don't realise it, but deep down we're mad at God for what he's allowed to happen, what he has done or what he has not done. This person has done this to us, and really our bitterness is anger at God for allowing that to happen. That's why we need to guard against becoming bitter like these brothers. It'll only make us angry with God. For the God who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son to die for our sins. And yet often we're in the situation of pitting our bitterness against God. Bitterness is also a denial of the goodness of God. Just as these bitter brothers of Joseph decided that their only option was to get rid of this dreamer so that those dreams could never come true, they thought. And then they wouldn't get to see Joseph every day in that coat of colours. They were blinded by their bitterness. And they thought this was a solution to their problem. They were in complete denial of the goodness of God. Bitterness means you've abandoned the principle of Romans 8:28. You've given up that God can bring good things out of bad. Your bitterness is a denial of the goodness and mercy of God. And if you're bitter at someone today, you've decided in your heart that God didn't handle it right, so you need to take over and work on this situation and get rid of this person that's seemingly the problem, just like these brothers did. Another thing is bitterness leaks out and poisons others. It doesn't just stay with you. It affects everyone around you. You consider Joseph's bitter brothers here, and it's highly possible that for a start, perhaps only one or two of those brothers were offended by Joseph. Maybe Reuben felt bitterness welling up when he saw Joseph wearing that coat that signified Joseph would receive the birthright and not Reuben, who was really the firstborn son. Bitterness leaks out, poisoning others, and soon all the brothers were caught up in that bitterness. The Bible doesn't say that it happened that way, but it could have. And the Bible gives us a warning in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That root of bitterness, if we don't cut that root out before it springs up, many can be defiled. Bitterness always affects other people. Now, perhaps the brothers didn't originally intend to cause their father grief, but their bitterness spilled out and affected the whole family. We see in verse 35 of chapter 37 here, beginning 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put on sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "For I'll go down into the grave unto my son's mourning." Thus his father wept for him. The unintended results of bitterness. Bitter roots, as it said in Hebrews, cause trouble and defile others. These brothers' action affected their whole family, shattered the family. You know, bitter people, at the very least, will disrupt and unnecessarily trouble others. Or in the worst possible effect, bitter people will corrupt others, hurt others, perhaps unintentionally. But that's the result of bitterness. You know, bitterness doesn't choose its target. You know, Joseph was clearly his father's favourite son. Joseph walked with God. And this drove Joseph's brothers over the edge. But think about it for a moment. Was the favouritism Joseph's fault? No, that was his father's decision. Were the dreams Joseph's fault? No, he couldn't stop the dreams coming. So why was Joseph the target of their hatred? You know, they knew they couldn't battle with God, so they picked on the next best target as a scapegoat, Joseph. You know, often people can vent them and us and say they hate you. Often we're just a convenient target. We must fight all bitterness with the mind of Christ. You know, Joseph knew his brothers hated him. Joseph saw his brothers' faces when he received the coat. Joseph saw his brothers' reactions to his dreams. And as Joseph lay in the bottom of that pit that day, he had his own invitation to bitterness. Joseph himself could have resorted to a bitter heart very easily. Why me? Why do they hate me like this? Why is this happening to me? Why is God allowing this to happen? But Joseph chose another way. And we saw some of the paths that Joseph chose in verse 13. Here am I. Use me. I'll go. Joseph had the power to fight off any self-pity, fight off any feeling of rejection, fight off that desire to get angry, resist any bitter resolves. And I think his power to do all that came from simply trusting that God was greater than his circumstances and that God was at work. God was in control, and he just trusted God. And he trusted that God was doing more than he could see or understand there in that dark pit. You know, the Word of God arms us with like what Joseph had. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." And we notice how it's saying that if we cannot control our anger and wrath, we're giving place to the devil. We're giving the devil the control and not God. Romans 12:19 through 21 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." It's easy to read that and nod your head. It's a lot harder to put into action. To overcome evil with good. Often we let evil overcome us, especially in the heat of the moment. We need to strive to overcome evil with good and not let the evil overcome us. Joseph could have so easily let the evil of his brothers toward him overcome him. And he could have lapsed into his own bitterness towards his brethren and perhaps towards God. But Joseph did not allow himself to become overcome by the evil. I think we should turn to Philippians chapter 2. And Paul puts it all in a beautiful nutshell for us in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." We need to make sure that we do nothing in strife like Joseph's brothers. And we shouldn't be seeking glory that is vain. We need to be humble, low in our own minds, and think of others as higher than ourselves. You know, pride played a big part in the problem that Joseph's brothers had, and they definitely weren't humble. And they couldn't accept the fact that Joseph was better than themselves. Paul continues in verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." We can often get so busy looking at our own perceived problems that we forget the needs of others. You know, Joseph managed to forget his own issues, forget the pain caused by his own brothers. He was still able to be obedient to his father and to go and minister to those who hated him. Joseph didn't dwell on these things in his mind. He thought about the needs of others. Then, verse 5 to 8 here in Philippians 2, Paul turns to the greatest example, far more perfect than the example of Joseph. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to let his mind be in us. We need to think like Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ, who was God, he was equal with God, the Son of God. He made himself of no reputation. He laid aside that equality of God with God. He emptied himself of God's glory. And instead, he took on the form or the likeness of a servant and became a mere man here on earth. He left the glory of heaven and he made himself in the likeness of men. Then Christ, in that form of a mere man, humbled himself even further to face death, something that Jesus never had to face. He didn't deserve death. He'd never sinned. We're sinners. We deserve death. We need to face death because of that sin. Yet Jesus humbled himself even further than being a mere man and faced death itself. And he faced a death on a cross, a terrible death, a long, painful death, not just in his sleep and never wake up, a terrible death. And we know that he did that for us. He humbled himself. He died in our place. He bore our sins on that sinless body on the cross. Yes, we need to let the mind of Christ be in us. The mind of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus died for those who hated him. He died for those who betrayed him. He died for those who killed him. He died for those with bitter hearts. He died for everybody. He didn't just die for the nice people. He died for everybody. We need to let the mind of Christ Jesus in. And then we won't have any trouble with bitterness, any trouble with other people, if we have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I think that was the key to Joseph and his ability to overcome the evil that was at him daily. Every day when he woke up, his brothers were there. He couldn't avoid it. And yet, he remained so humble and willing to serve and seek out those brothers who hated the very sight of him. And yet, we can see that in our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for those who hated him. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your word. And above all, we thank you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he did indeed humble himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we thank you for the example of Joseph. And I pray that each one of us here tonight would be able to lay aside all bitterness and come to you as a humble, repentant sinner. And I just pray that as we consider these things tonight, that we'll be blessed, challenged, and exhorted in Jesus' name. Amen.